Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
It is Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Golic Jr., Amber Wilson, hanging out with us all week here. We'll talk to Aaron Schatz from Football Outsiders in about 10 minutes here. You've heard us on this show a lot talk about the idea of defensive regression, about the variance and turnover. All of these things get reading the Football Outsiders Almanac. It is the Bible for heading into the NFL season. And Aaron Schatz is one of the architects behind it. Does an outstanding job with them. And so we'll get you smarter for the upcoming NFL season. Because, Amber, we are only about a week away at this point. As excited as we are for college football tonight, I know maybe not everyone is on board that train. You can still get on it. There's time. It's a great time. But the NFL does start, and our weekends will be fully spoken for starting next Thursday.
100. I am ready for it. I am almost as ready for it as I am for Jerry's album that's going to all make us super rich and eclipse anything Kanye has ever done. But I am ready for football season, and it's here, baby.
Yeah, if you've missed it, our producer Jerry has said that if you gave him 3 months at a location of his choice to do nothing but focus on music production at this point in Kanye's career, because I think it's worth noting, at this point, the Donda version of Kanye, he believes he could outproduce him on an album. Jerry, I did ask you this. If we were to give you the place that you could do this, because Kanye has recorded albums in Montana, he recently recorded Donda inside the Atlanta Falcons Mercedes-Benz Stadium, what would be your hiatus spot for 3 months where we would lose you while you created the album that's going to make us all rich?
It would probably, I said, it'd probably be my childhood bedroom, just like where it all began. It's like, all of the first influences were there. I just popped in my head that would be funny because I'd like relocate my mother for 3 months to do this.
Yeah, you know what? Listen, for the greater good. Again, right, Amber? Like, this is all about us investing in Jerry. We're buying stock in Jerry and his talent so that we can all spend the rest of our lives on an island.
You may also be relocating whoever now lives in your childhood home, assuming that your family no longer owns it. So that's a little caveat there as well. But hey, I can understand the idea of wanting comfort in order to inspire the creative. I would want to be on some deserted private island somewhere staring at the ocean, probably more than the comfort of my childhood home. But I do understand the attraction to the comfort.
And Amber, I mean this with all due respect, that's why you're not passing Kanye. You're going to go get distracted
on
some island.
I would be. Wow. You're right. You know, it's fair, Jerry. It's a fair analysis by you. You were also talking about music theory at one point during the breaks on the show, and I have no idea what you were saying. It sounded a lot like math, and I became nauseated really quickly.
It is math, yes.
I was told there would be no math. And so if we're talking about being on the move here, why don't we head to college football then? Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Because you heard it from Doug Brown during the SportsCenter update. A report today, and Adam Rittenberg and Heather Dinich, two great college football reporters for us, have an article about this up on .com. As the Big 12 considers expansion, four leading candidates have emerged in BYU, Central Florida, UCF, Cincinnati, and Houston, sources confirmed to ESPN. As formal invitations could be extended to these schools during college football season. Amber, how did those names strike you? We've talked and we've theorized about so many teams that could fill the void left by Texas and Oklahoma in the Big 12. Does this fill that need in the way they have to have?
Of course not. In terms of Texas and Oklahoma, you can't fill that need. That's not a knock on these programs, but you're talking monster money and monster programs that just left that Big 12. By the way, low-key, one thing that I do think that we've learned through this whole experience is we've got to stop naming conferences off of how many teams are in them. Like, no more bigs, no more packs that end with numbers, because that doesn't seem to go well for conferences when teams come in and out of those conferences. Nevertheless, obviously, the Big 12 does have a big void here, and it has a big financial void. So now you're trying to add these four programs to kind of make up for the two big programs in Texas and Oklahoma leaving you. It would apparently require 27 months notice from each of them and $10 million and all this sort of stuff that is whatever, the minutia of it all and when all this even goes down and happens. Obviously, we're talking years from now. But in terms of just those programs themselves, I do feel like those four programs are schools that, at least on the college football scene, we do see in the national picture from time to time. So from that perspective, I get it. And UCF is the largest university in the country, most people people don't even realize that. So that's, you know, one of those programs that could that ever become a big program in the way that we think about big programs. I frankly don't think any of these four can do that, but at times they'll have really good seasons in college football that kind of put them on that stage.
Yeah, Amber, this can kind of be one of those where there's smoke, there's fire situations though, right? Because if you go back to the last time that we did this in 2016, the Big 12 was exploring expanded membership with all four of these schools. Like, this isn't a new phenomenon with them, and people will certainly understand that on the UCF side. But Houston, in a very similar situation, in a spot that is a recruiting footprint and hotbed. I mean, half the reason Tom Herman got the Texas job was because of how well he recruited Houston. Remember, he signed Ed Oliver, who at the time was the only five-star, I believe, to commit to either Houston or a group of five team ever at that point in time. So what he had done was unprecedented. That's the kind of talent-rich area, because that's what you're looking for in all of this, Amber. I think as we misconstrue sometimes the conversation about expansion down to only eyeballs on linear television, they're also looking for what you mentioned, growing large student populations and young alumni bases like UCF has as reasons to do this. In addition to all of these spots are places where competent football has not only been played for a while, but is being played right now.
Right. Competent football. So, you know, they might be relevant on the national scene and relevant in the rankings. You mentioned UCF there. So we keep going back to that. I mean, that's a school that when I was growing up here in Florida, like UCF was a commuter school for a really long time. And then it became one of our real big destination universities where kids grow up wanting to go there. And obviously they then build the stadium on campus and they end up getting all this fanfare around their football program. That has changed dramatically in my lifetime. That is the kind of thing that you want in your conference, because you're right, they're building towards something, which is absolutely what you want, and those programs are doing that. The long and short of it, though, is that the Big 12 has to do something, or the Big 12 is going to cease to exist. I think that that's the concern there for the Big 12, that we're afraid that Texas and Oklahoma are going to create a domino effect where everybody in that conference is running for greener grass. And in order to try to obviate that issue, you bring in these programs and hope that you can keep your conference in some semblance of tact.
And Amber, I think that's a key part of this, especially after the alliance stuff that was announced by the Big Ten, the Pac-12, and the ACC, was, oh, the Big 12 wasn't invited to this meeting. What are we supposed to take from this as we march forward here? Someone's got to act first. And if the Big 12, with the eight remaining teams, can go and actually try and make this happen, can pull these other four teams in, you'd imagine that would take them off that life support. Now, what it means as far as the reasons you got here, meaning Texas originally going with the Longhorn Network, demanding they be allowed to have their own television network and put all their content onto that spot, that certainly changed the outcome for a lot of the Big 12 when it came to the rest of their TV dealings. Would these be schools that allowed them to cash in fully on that? I don't know the answer to that, Amber, but if the goal is just, we got to stop the bleeding and we got to make sure we live to see tomorrow, these four teams could absolutely be the path to that. Like, Cincinnati's a team we're going to talk about as a very real playoff contender this year. UCF, that national championship claimed in 2017 might go down as one of the better bits of modern college football branding in the 2010s. I don't think that's short-selling it. And Houston's a job so attractive that it lured Dana Holgorsen away from West Virginia at a time where he was still doing well there. So I think there's sells for all of them, but the biggest one is just immediate gratification of being able to survive to the next day.
Well, and don't forget with Houston as well, that puts them back in that Texas market like you mentioned, which is, of course, also a consideration when you're trying to shore up the loss of a university like the University of Texas. So absolutely, the Big 12 is doing everything. If these rumors are true, then the Big 12 and these reports are true, then the Big 12 is doing everything that it can to try to sustain its conference with the addition, potential addition of these four teams over the next 5 years.
So we'll see what comes of this. But again, these reports confirmed by ESPN, I originally believe they came in to the Atlantic, about four teams, BYU, UCF, Cincinnati, and Houston, appear to be the leading candidates as the Big 12 considers expansion. We'll get more on that because we got real games starting this weekend. And so thankfully we might be able to put some of this expansion talk into the rear view for a little bit, because quietly there's also some Big 12 teams that might want to worry about getting upset this weekend first, the way we saw last year when the Sun Belt knocked off three of them. But coming up next, if you want to get smarter about the NFL this upcoming season, whether it's for gambling, whether it's for your team, whether it's for any number of reasons, Aaron Schatz from Football Outsiders is going to take care of you. He joins us next here on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Everyone likes surprises. We like them even more when they involve football. Coming up in 10 minutes, we'll get some big surprises for the upcoming NFL season on Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Amber Wilson here. And we head now to the Goodyear Hotline to get some information about the upcoming NFL season. If you haven't already, footballoutsiders.com, always a bevy of great information, stats and context for football that's going to make you a better, smarter fan. The Football Outsiders Almanac comes out every year. You can get it on footballoutsiders.com. And you can get Aaron Schatz there, who joins us now on the Goodyear Hotline, ESPN Plus NFL analyst and one of the great workers over at Football Outsiders. Aaron, how you doing, man?
I'm good. I'm ready for the season to start. I'm so desperate. I watched Jacksonville State last night.
I agree. Man, listen, UAB looked fast out there. I don't want to say it was...
they kind of did, actually.
I'm looking forward to what Bill Clark and the Blazers have to go for the rest of the season, but we'll get to college football at another time, Aaron. For people that don't know and are going to hear it, you've been on with us plenty in this show over the last year. DVOA is the stat that you guys use and created over at Football Outsiders to measure a lot of what we talk about. So can you just explain to people that might not know, what is DVOA, what did you guys come to with this, and how do you use it when you gauge NFL teams in production?
Sure. We look at the success of every play based on the down and distance. We compare it to a league average baseline that is then adjusted for situation and opponent. Better than zero is good for offense. Lower than zero is good for defense. We also project it for the next year using performance over the last couple of years, coaching changes, personnel changes, turnovers, and a number of other things, that, you know, looking at analysis, regression analysis. So we have DVOA for the past, and we have projected DVOA for how well we think teams are going to play this year.
So based on all of your metrics then, are the Tampa Bay Bucks poised to make another run here at the Super Bowl?
Heck yeah. They look really good. I don't remember a defending champion that looked this good. And it's because not only is Tampa Bay one of the strongest teams in the league on both sides of the ball, but they have one of the easiest schedules. Based on the projected DVOA average of their opponents, they have the number 30 schedule. So they're our highest rated team going into the year with the third easiest schedule. That is a recipe for a return to the Super Bowl.
Usually it looks pretty good. We're talking to Aaron Schatz here on Janae and Golic Jr. So Tampa Bay we can put off to the side because we feel pretty good about that situation. We've talked a lot about Mac Jones and the Patriots, now named the starter. What does the forecast look like? Does anything change when you put Mac Jones under center as opposed to Cam Newton, who was the assumed starter at the beginning of this?
As much as we all want to believe in these rookie quarterbacks, I will tell you that you do have to assume that, in general, rookie quarterbacks are below average. Now, I mean, we also assume Cam Newton, his projection was below average. But the offensive forecast for the Patriots drops a little bit with Mac Jones, even though, you know, a lot of us feel like he's definitely their quarterback of the future and they made the right decision here, just because the expectations for a rookie quarterback, even a first rounder, have to be low. But they have added more talent on defense than any team in the last 20 years because they've brought back Hightower, Van Noy, Matt Judon, Devon Godshow, Jalen Mills, all these guys that they now have on defense. So we have the Patriots projected to go back to the playoffs in something like 65% of our simulations because their defense is going to return to being one of the best in the league.
So the public maybe overexpects in terms of quarterbacks that are rookies. What about teams here? Is there a team that the public's really high on that Football Outsiders is not so sure about when you run the projections?
Yeah, I know we're going out on a bit of a limb. Even other analytics people love the Cleveland Browns. And we love the Browns as far as how they're managed and run. We love their front office. But remember that this team was outscored by opponents last year, and that's usually the sign of a team that's going to get worse the next year, not better. If you look at every team to go 11-5 in our DVOA ratings since 1983, last year's Browns were the second worst 11-5 team. So even though they improved by adding talent this offseason and getting Odell Beckham back from injury, we think the level that they're improving from is really the level of a 500 team, not an 11-5 team. So I don't think the Browns are a major Super Bowl contender.
Chenane Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr. and Amber Wilson talking to Aaron Schatz from Football Outsiders with us. So the Browns, not a Super Bowl contender. That division going to be an interesting one. But when you look out, we've been doing division previews around here, Aaron. What do you guys see as the strongest and weakest divisions, respectively, heading into this season?
The NFC West is the strongest division in the league. Seattle, San Francisco, and the Rams is an awesome three-way battle for first place. And while we don't have Arizona as a real Super Bowl contender, they definitely could go 500. And to go 500 as the fourth team in your division is pretty good. The weakest division is the AFC South. There are a lot of reasons to believe that Indianapolis and Tennessee will be worse this year. Tennessee, similar to Cleveland, did not rate very highly for an 11-5 team. They were only 14th in our numbers last year. And as far as Indianapolis, we know that they got worse at quarterback. We don't know just how good or bad Carson Wentz is going to be, but it's very unlikely that he's as good as what Phillip Rivers was last year. And those are the two best teams in the AFC South. So that is definitely the weakest division in the NFL.
Finally here, Aaron, what's your Super Bowl pick then?
I'm going to go against the grain and a little bit against my numbers because I'm a little bored with picking chalk every year. As far as the AFC, I do like Kansas City to come out of the AFC. That's the strongest team in the AFC. They're even stronger now than they were in our book projections. Like our preseason projection based on changes over the last few weeks have them even better. But I'm going against the grain and I am picking Dallas in the NFC. There's always a team you don't expect in the Super Bowl. I think that their defense under Dan Quinn can be average. And I think that their offense with Prescott and Lamb and Cooper and all those guys can be very, very good.
Whew. All right. If you're looking for more heat like that, check out Aaron Schatz and the folks over. You can follow him on Twitter at @FO_AShots and head to footballoutsiders.com. Aaron and the guys over there do an outstanding job. The almanac is the Bible you need heading into the NFL season. Aaron, we really appreciate the time today, man. I'm sure we'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely love being on. Talk to you guys during the season.
All right. So Aaron Schatz, bullish on the Dallas Cowboys. Coming
up, that's a take almost as hot as Jerry's Kanye take. Almost.
Almost. If we're weighing the scales of takes, Jerry for 3 months usurping Kanye honestly seems a little more doable than the Cowboys Super Bowl this year, if I'm being honest.
There are people who would think that that is actually more doable than the Cowboys winning a Super Bowl this season, but you heard it there from Aaron.
Don't appreciate you guys. Like, oh, he might not be able to do it. Yes, it is absolutely more likely. That's all.
It is absolutely more likely. So Jerry being better than Kanye would surprise no one. What about the Dallas Cowboys would have to surprise us to actually make Aaron's take come true? We'll tell you next. You're on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golick Jr., the podcast.
Janae and Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We got two big debuts coming up tomorrow that we got to make sure the people are ready for around here. Mike Golick Jr. and Amber Wilson. And by the way, guys, don't forget to check out the Chenae podcast hosted by our very own Chenae Awumike and fueled by Gatorade. We appreciate their continued support of women's sports journalists and athletes here at ESPN and everywhere. Whatever path you take to greatness, Gatorade is there to fuel it. Greatness starts with a G. And Amber, we've been talking today. We got college football that we're taking you guys up to tonight. Lots of great action on ESPN all around the sport. But we're also now officially a week away from the start of the NFL season, which feels surreal to say, but we're finally here. And so, to help us kind of start to get in that mood here, Dan Graziano, our ESPN NFL insider, saw fit to bless us with an article predicting 32 potential surprises for each NFL team. One for each. We thought we'd explore a couple of these. Cliff, hit the music so it feels right. Football music going on here. Amber, we just had Aaron Schatz from Football Outsiders on, and we asked for his Super Bowl pick, and he said he was going against the grain, against their numbers a bit, and going to go for the Dallas Cowboys on this. So tell me how you feel about this one. Don't be surprised if Ezekiel Elliott bounces back. This seems like more of a softball down the middle of the plate. He had just 979 yards and 6 touchdowns last year, and we're hearing another round of he's in the best shape ever type thing. But it seems like, especially because we got to see on a Hard Knocks, we can actually believe that.
Yeah, we could. It would be easy anyways to roll our eyes at all that talk because it does feel like we get that at the beginning of every season. The problem with Ezekiel Elliott, I think, is the position he plays, and it's just hard to believe in that position 4 years in. I was surprised, though. I mean, Aaron, I mean, he almost has me sold then on the Cowboys, and if his prediction comes to fruition, it's got to be in part because Ezekiel Elliott is, in fact, back. So I would be moderately surprised. Like, I wouldn't be shocked, because obviously he was a great, great player.
Well, Amber, and you bring up a good point. Like you said, the running back position's highly dependent. And so if you get a semi-healthy offensive line, because I can't even count on them to be fully healthy, if you get a defense that, as he put it, is just dead dog average with Dan Quinn at the helm now, because you know you got the parts there. You drafted Micah Parsons in the first round. You've paid that linebacker core. DeMarcus Lawrence still plays for that football team very well on the defensive line. Like, there's reason to believe that the running back could benefit from all of those other things slowly starting to even out on this front.
And don't forget, Mike, he's in shape.
He is. He's in the best shape of his career. I don't know if you guys heard that or not. I want to go to this one, Amber, because everyone's in the best shape of their career. But this is a relationship sort of question or relationship sort of surprise here, because we spent all offseason talking about one relationship, Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. How about this one? Don't be surprised if Russell Wilson sets a career high in passing yards. His single season high, 4,219, set in 2016. Amber, are you buying this one at all? Because he was really patient zero of quarterback consternation this offseason.
I mean, what a long, strange trip it's been. It feels like 110 years ago that there was reported discontent in the Seattle Seahawks locker room and surrounding Russell Wilson. It feels like so long ago, I even forgot that it happened. And yet here we are. Basically, this take, though, by Graziano comes down to a good quarterback is going to be really good. And that, to me, would not at all be shocking. Of course, Russell Wilson could lead the league in passing yards. He's a really, really good quarterback.
Yeah, Shane Waldron comes over from the Rams to their passing game coordinator, and it sounds like everyone's going to start to get more of what they want here. We've heard in training camp them talking about upping the tempo of this offense a little bit, letting Russ operate from more than the shotgun. I think we're going to finally let Russ cook thing die, because that seemed to sort of sputter. And then you saw the difference for me, Amber, is does Pete Carroll panic at the first sign that that doesn't work the way he wants? Because he's made it very clear how he wants to get down. And so for Shane Waldron and company, we saw this offense do this to the tune of him getting MVP conversation. Would he finally get a vote halfway through last season? Do we think Pete Carroll can resist the urge to panic? Because I think that is going to be the difference between Russell Wilson trying to force his way out again this offseason and then being able to ride it out and make him a Seahawk lifer.
Yeah, because a component of this is going to be, do they appease Russell Wilson? And we'll see that this season, because of the discontent that reportedly did exist all those months ago. It'll be interesting to watch the Seahawks.
Chenan Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio, going through the surprises for every NFL team heading into the 2021 season, as written by our own Dan Graziano. How about this one, Amber? Don't be surprised if the Patriots lead the league in rushing, even without Cam Newton at quarterback.
Yeah, I would be surprised.
Really?
Who's leading the league in rushing?
Well, right now, I mean, you look at contenders would be the Titans with the two-time rushing champ on their team.
No, I mean on the Patriots, because
well, he's saying the way that this is team overall.
Right, because the way that this is written is even without Cam at quarterback, and so the implication there to me is that Mac Jones is somehow contributing to the rushing numbers, and obviously that would not be the case, or I certainly wouldn't expect that to be the case. I mean, Damian Harris and James White and J.J. Taylor, I just have a hard time believing when you look at some of the running back cores around the National Football League that it's going to be the New England Patriots that are taking that title.
Well, don't you think that it's more about the commitment to the run from the team? Because I think the other thing we've talked about with the Patriots this offseason, very limited besides the quarterback situation, obviously, has been the notion, and I think I heard Mina Kimes bring this up, that they've sort of zigged when the rest of the league is zagged, right? As everyone went out, expanded 11 personnel, spread out formations, the Patriots have kind of gone turtle shell on this. And offensively, we've seen them bolster on both sides, the interiors, the front sevens of these units. So maybe just by sheer volume in a way that teams outside of Tennessee and Baltimore aren't willing to replicate, they might get there.
Well, and have they done that because they were making up for some sort of lack of, you know, ability that was left with Cam Newton? And are they going to continue to do that with Mac Jones? Or do they feel like Mac Jones is that pocket passer who's capable of airing it out and has numerous weapons around him now? That remains to be seen. The coverage over the last 4 to 8 hours would have me believe that Mac Jones is going to the hall. So I would imagine he has to throw passes in order to get there. So I doubt they're just ramming it down your throat.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, we talked about the tight end moves they made, Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith. We know Hunter Henry's dealt with some injuries during camp. But then Nelson Agholor, Jacoby Myers, like, they're good receiving weapons. But what did we see even at the end of Tom Brady's Patriot career? Was that team with a lack of dynamic playmakers on the outside? N'Keal Harry hasn't hit the way they've wanted to yet. They were forced to because they didn't really have the horses to do anything close to what Mac was doing at Alabama.
You know, it's funny because with this Patriots roster, everyone is talking about the Patriots like they're going to be the third or fourth best team in the league kind of thing here. And you're hearing that absolutely they're making the playoffs. And they're going to make a postseason run, even with a rookie quarterback. And we're hearing all that coverage. And this is going to be a much improved Patriots team, of course, and with opt-ins and the weapons that you just referenced that they did bring in the offseason. But there's not many standout names on this roster. Like, if you pull up the roster, it's a pretty bland roster overall. So I have been a bit surprised by that. I'd be surprised if they're leading in any category, frankly.
All right. Well, I mean, for, again, Aaron Schatz of Football Outsiders, they're calling for the Patriots to make the playoffs. But, Amber, we know there's a very different standard around that organization. And so the playoffs would be nice, but most Patriot fans, I think if they get some of that catnip, are going to be expecting this thing to tilt all the way back. And I know I'm not going to say this too loud because Christine Lisi, our noted Bills fan and SportsCenter update anchor, might be listening. They're going to want to go ahead and try and challenge the Bills if they're going to zag this hard. So, again, if you want more of those surprises for every NFL team, Dan Graziano, a great article on ESPN.com that you can check out. But coming up next, tomorrow is going to bring a couple of very important debuts. We'll tell you who is getting out there and getting loose next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
And Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Thank you to all the guests that joined us on the Goodyear Hotline. Jeff Schwartz, host of Pac-12 Today on Sirius XM, joined us to help preview the Pac-12 heading into college football season, which gets going this weekend, but really gets going tonight. Brian Windhorst, our ESPN NBA insider, helped us break down some of the new changes potentially coming to New York, San Francisco, as it pertains to the COVID rules in those cities and what NBA players may experience. And Aaron Schatz from Football Outsiders helped us break down the NFL. If you missed any of that, download, subscribe, rate, and review the Chenay and Golic Jr. podcast wherever you get your podcast. You can also hear on there us take calls about the existence of macadamia nuts outside of the cookie. And our producer, Jerry, being a better music producer than Kanye West. Did I miss anything, Amber?
I don't believe so. That about covered it.
Dear God.
What else do you need?
Listen, that's a full Thursday for anyone in here. Our thanks to Amber Wilson for hanging out with us all of this week here. But as we mentioned, it's the day before, but it is the night of some college football getting ready to get going. So we got to get you pumped, get you ready. Let's keep that same energy. We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You can just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Janae and Golic Jr.
Keeping that same energy. Amber, scale of 1 to ready to stay up until midnight like you're looking for Santa Claus. How excited are you that Drake's album Certified Lover Boy will actually drop and debut tonight at midnight?
I mean, I got to be honest. I'm not staying up to midnight for any album ever. I mean, unless maybe Tupac somehow drops one. I'm not that jazzed about it, but overall, I do like Drake. I don't know if, like, is it cool to like Drake in 2021? I don't really care. I've reached an age in my life where, like, I don't care what's cool to like and what's not cool to like. Is Drake too mainstream and too popular these days, and so you're not allowed to like him? I like Drake. I think that his music is fire. I'm just going to go on record and say it. I'm not embarrassed to say it. I don't know if I'm even supposed to be embarrassed, but as much as I like you, Drake, midnight ain't happening for me, baby.
I do love the
idea. Catch you on the flip side.
That
by flip side, I mean tomorrow.
We're all so caught off guard by what's liked and what's hate and the internet mobs of these fan bases for artists that we're, none of us are sure what we're supposed to say in public. Now, this isn't like Beyonce level of stan where I would never, ever speak an ill word about that woman in a public place.
Overrated.
Drake fans are, no, Amber, please don't do this. I care about you.
Do it.
Beehive.
Do it.
Don't come after me.
Please don't come after her. Leave her alone. We don't want to do this. And so I'm going to move away very quickly and
please
go to something that the whole universe can come in and celebrate. Keeping that same energy, Simu Liu joined us earlier this week to let us know, and you can check out the Chenangle Jr. podcast from Monday, the star of Shang-Chi and The Legend of the Ten Rings that debuts tomorrow, Marvel's next masterpiece, Amber. I know we're both all in on this one.
Well, all in is overstating it. I'm all in on the first Asian-American superhero. Obviously, that representation matters. I very much enjoyed that interview the other day and had a lot of fun with it. I'm not so all in on Marvel movies, superhero movies, and comic book movies. I gotta be honest with you. I haven't really seen most of them, and I really don't know anything about the Marvel universe, and I couldn't name most of them, and this is more your forte.
You're right, and that's totally fine, and that's okay, because when Simu Liu, who again was a joy to talk to with us, and I realized is my age, and maybe, you know, on the cusp of becoming one of the biggest superstars in a franchise that's surely going to line his pockets for the rest of his days, I really hope he takes me up on the offer to be best friends, Amber. That's really all I'm looking for in this, is to try and make sure that he understands he's always got a home here between the hours of 4 and 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Friend of the show, and you can watch The Bachelor together.
See, this is people helping people. Chenangle Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Keeping that same energy, Paul Millsap was announced that he's joining the Nets. Amber, is it getting a bit ridiculous at this point? Like, I know Paul Millsap is not going to be part of anyone's big four here, but should they even be allowed to add players anymore?
You want them prohibited from being able to fulfill out their roster?
Like,
I like that.
Be done with it.
We should institute that rule in the NBA. I mean, he was also reportedly considering the Warriors. I can't get super worked up out of 37-year-old Paul Millsap. I mean, I understand that. Obviously, he used to be a great player, a four-time NBA All-Star, but at this point in his career, you know, he's a reliable contributor, fine, but he's certainly not the player that he once was. So I don't feel like this is really the rich getting richer. It just is what it is.
It just all is going to feel like that. We're going to get very big Tampa Bay Buccaneers vibes, like, oh, man, they added Leonard Fournette, championship squad now. But keeping that same energy and keeping that Florida energy, Amber, it's a little delayed right now because of lightning. According to Brent McMurphy, the Boise State-UCF kickoff is delayed till at least 7:30 because of that lightning. But we do have college football tonight on ESPN.
Yeah, buddy.
Matt Berry, Roddy Jones, and Harry Lyles hanging out. UCF hosting Boise State in a game that, Amber, I had to remind myself today, is really the Auburn butterfly effect game, right? Brian Harsin leaves to take the job at Auburn, vacated by Gus Malzahn, who takes the job now at UCF and gets to host in the bounce house here. Pretty cool.
Yeah, very cool. New coaching staffs for both of these schools. Combined, though, these programs, 18 finishes in the AP Top 25 since 2002. That includes 6 top 10 finishes, trips to BCS bowl games here. So big programs playing tonight. It's college football, baby.
Andy Avalos, new head coach of Boise State, former player there in the early 2000s. So the prodigal son returns home for the OG5 game between two teams that really put Group of Five conferences in a lot of ways on the maps in this century here. So again, check that game out. 7:30 Eastern, the earliest kickoff we will get there. The Bounce House will be ready for you. Spain and Fitz will be ready for you now. Coming up next.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.